Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Carrie Coppernall.
I'm Don Marks.
And I'm Brian Dune.
And we're joined today by phone with Dr. Deborah Horowitz of the Animal Behavior Resources Institute. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Horowitz.
You're welcome. And I actually, name of my practice is Veterinary Behavior Consultations in St. Louis, Missouri.
Great. Okay. Well, Dr. Horowitz, we're talking to you today about this time of year. Spring is known for thunderstorms, especially in Oklahoma. We have some wild weather. How does this affect our pets?
Well, for some dogs, thunderstorms don't bother them at all. Mm-hmm. Or for other dogs, maybe they're a little bit rattled by it, which isn't necessarily maladaptive. Here in Missouri, we have some pretty good window rattlers ourselves. But mm-hmm. there are some dogs who seem to have almost a maladaptive response to storms. They become extremely frightened. They hide. They might be destructive. They may attempt to escape their yard or their house. And for mm-hmm. these dogs, we really need some sort of help or intervention so that they can weather these situations without damaging themselves or their home.
So how do you know as a dog owner whether your dog maybe just is a little spooked or whether it's something you need to address?
If your dog is showing more than just a little anxiety, maybe panting and looking around when it's thundering, then mm-hmm. you might want to get in contact with your veterinarian. Dogs with real profound phobias to storms don't normally start that way. It often starts at a low level where the dog maybe paces around and pants and just can't settle, or wakes you up in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
or you come home from work and there's been a storm and you find that a dog that's never destructive has destroyed something. And that's a good time to begin speaking with your veterinarian about the different types of things you can do, both behaviorally mm-hmm. and other types of interventions that would be useful to help diminish your pet's fear and learn them, teach them how to cope with a storm.
Okay, well, let's talk about those two kinds of interventions. Explain to us, what are some behavior things that you can do for your dogs?
Well, one of the important things to do is to realize that you can be helpful by trying to distract your dog with a fun activity. So instead mm-hmm. of saying, oh, it's all right, it's okay, and petting and reassuring them, which actually they might take as a reward for the behavior they're doing, you might want to get out their favorite ball and see if you can mm-hmm. play ball, or run through some obedience tricks using some delectable food rewards, some sits and downs, and maybe shake. And also, it does help sometimes to create a safe area where you can take your dog, perhaps a darkened room with no windows, maybe even putting on some loud rock and roll music to mask the sound of the storm, and then mm-hmm. trying to carry on in a more normal manner so that you can help your pet understand that, yeah, it's storming, but we're going to have a good time. Maybe we have a little dance party or something like that.
So what happens if the behavior techniques don't work and this is maybe something more serious? What are your options from there?
Well, we want to do the behavior techniques, but options from there, one thing you can start with is a pheromone intervention, which is DAP, which stands for dog appeasing pheromone. DAP mm-hmm. is a synthetic copy of the pheromone that's put out by the mammary gland of a mother dog. And it calms the puppies. Oh. And in many situations like storms and fireworks, when you use the DAP, the dog will be calmer. And it comes in several forms. It comes as a plug-in diffuser, which is kind of like a scent plug-in. You put it into the socket, you leave it there. It lasts
memory
about 30
scent.
Days. And it diffuses through the environment, so it's always present, even if there was a storm when you weren't home. Mm-hmm. It also comes with a collar, which can be put on the dog, and they wear around their neck. And again, this would be something that they would wear all the time. And mm-hmm. finally, it comes as a spray that you can spray on objects, perhaps a scarf you might put around your dog's neck. And any one of these is appropriate for storms. I generally recommend either the collar or the diffuser so that the dog is constantly surrounded by this pheromone, which should help calm them down.
And now I've heard of vets prescribing some kinds of like anti-anxiety medicine for dogs, things that you would sort of find that people use also. Is that true?
Yeah, sometimes dogs have such profound anxieties about storms that along with the behavior modification and the pheromone interventions, that we do need to use some anxiolytic medications. And that's something that should be done under the direction of your veterinarian. They also are the source for getting the DAP. And together, you and your veterinarian can figure out what is the best medication for your pet. Some pets just need medication as the storm is approaching. Other mm-hmm. pets who have really profound anxieties to storms may need to be medicated every day during thunderstorm season because mm-hmm. storms are sometimes unpredictable and sometimes can happen day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Horowitz, for all the information. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I think that this is good information to get out there for the public because the storms are coming and really can make those pets upset. And anything we can do to increase their welfare and help them relax is good.
Well, you find someone who agrees right here.
Okay, great.
Yes. All right, well, thanks again, Dr. Horowitz.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so now that we have the skinny on keeping your pups calm, one of my dogs has storm anxiety, and it's really sad. He cries like
Aww.
A baby. But now I'm going to try some of those behavior techniques.
Yeah.
I think that those sound good.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought of the rewarding thing because I know my dog has a little bit of anxiety when we use the stove or the oven. We always try to comfort her. I guess she smells the gas.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll try to play with her now.
Yeah, instead of
yeah. you know, petting her or whatever. So that's a good idea
good
for
call.
Any kind of anxiety.
Yeah. Stove, storm, whatever. All right. Brian Dean, you got some news for us?
I do. I'm curious what you guys know about. Obviously, you probably know that dolphins are one of the more smart animals out there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also know that they can fight pirates?
Apparently. Of course they can.
Apparently.
Of course they can.
In a recent pirate attack off the coast of Somalia and off the Yarr. Gulf of Aden, some Somali pirate ships were tracking some Chinese merchant ships. And thousands of dolphins
what?
Got between the two ships and kind of got up too close to the surface, and the pirates had to turn away. They just couldn't navigate through the sea with the dolphins in the way. So they had to give up the attack because it was thwarted by dolphins.
Good
they
job,
were all
Flipper.
Wearing
little all radio these, control devices on their heads.
They all had talk about for fins.
All this talk about, you know, arming merchant ships and dolphins. Getting the Navy involved. No, we should need more dolphins. That's all.
I think the world does in general. That's a good story. Thank you, Brian.
From there, we're going to go to a not-so-good story that
Great.
I'm sure you guys have probably heard of by now. But we had this issue over the weekend, this Sunday polo match in Wellington, Florida.
Yeah, that's
21
insane.
Horses died.
See, I was like, that's poisoning. That is, I don't know, that's bad news.
Everybody seems to have a different theory on what it was.
Poisoning.
But they're still not really sure. Apparently, as they were unloading all these horses, getting them ready for the match, seven of them dropped dead, seven more dropped dead either during or after the match, and then seven more got sick and died afterwards, later on.
I just find that a third and then a third and then a third, that's not random.
I wonder if it was something on the grass.
Donna's poisoning.
We don't. Well,
in
again,
my professional opinion,
there's been questions about whether there was maybe some of the food they were given was
accidental
bad, whether
or on purpose,
whether
on
the
purpose,
water
I
there
think.
At the polo grounds
Sinister.
Was bad. I mean, no one seems to know for sure, but they are testing all. They're trying to see if it was something that was injected. Was it something in the water,
or
something in the food? They're testing all that now.
Sinister poisoning. I'm calling it.
It's obviously a very odd. I mean, case here. This is not. You know, apparently five other. Two horses initially collapsed and five others got dizzy and they all died. And then, I mean, I guess what gets
That's
me
so
is they
sad.
Still had the match, too. I mean,
how?
I don't know exactly.
I bet they have spares. Like, you know, they have
20
their...
20 spares?
They have their, like, number one pony and then they probably have their number two pony if the other one's exhausted or
the
hurt or played, like, the day before or something like that.
They came off the pony bench?
There's,
probably.
There is one, the chief
the
examining...
The horses were like, we are not playing. No. No, thanks.
The chief examining veterinarian of the New York Racing Association said that she suspects that it's probably a tainted substance that was injected into the horses because if it was something that was in food, then they probably would have... It would have taken a while to metabolize.
Right.
And B, they probably would have shown signs of sickness before...
Had to get into their bloodstream pretty
right,
quickly for it
point.
To happen that.
So...
Wow.
Who really necessarily knows? I mean... we've had talk before about that some horses get steroids, but that would not obviously affect a horse in that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently each team brings between 40 to 60 horses for matches.
There you go.
They're continuously switched out throughout a match to keep them from overexerting themselves. That's
Dawn
why they had so many.
Don is our polo expert.
Only I didn't know it.
But yeah, they're still apparently looking into this and doing autopsies on the horses, so we don't know yet what the problem was, and I guess we'll have to just keep you guys updated as we find out more information.
I know what it was. It was malicious poisoning.
Well, but what kind? And who did it?
Malicious, I just said.
Well, we'll go track down Malicious.
Okay. Some guy who has that on the back of his shirt.
Yeah.
He's walking around with a needle.
He probably had one of those curly mustaches.
He did. And a cape. Excellent. Well, moving on to something that is extremely, extremely...
It's very important.
Serious. So, Pet Show listeners, I hope you're sitting down. Dawn.
Tail tips today.
Yes.
In honor of... National Hairball Day, which is April 24th, Friday.
That's so gross.
National Hairball Awareness Day.
I, for one, celebrate hairballs year-round. Not just one day a year.
Well, as a cat owner, I can tell you, hairballs, not fun. Not a good situation. I have a long-haired cat. Anyway, from Furminator Inc., I have some tips here.
I have a Furminator. I have two Furminators. They work really well. Furminator's not paying me. I'm just saying that. They do.
I think Cotton Ball would claw me to death and run away if she saw Furminator.
My dogs love them.
We have some tips on preventing hairballs in cats.
Don't have a cat.
Number one, yes, that would be it. However, peak shedding season right now. Uh-huh. So that is when... you're more likely to have it because it occurs when cats groom themselves. Cotton Ball doesn't really groom herself, so we don't have a huge problem. But anyway, that's another story. Number one, regular grooming by the owner of the cat. You can groom long hair and short hair cats. Short hair cats, you know, you can get the mitts and mm-hmm. pet them and get out the loose hair and that kind of thing. You can try adding a little butter and canned pumpkin to the cat's food once or twice a week. The butter sort of loosens their system, and the pumpkin helps it go on away.
Well.
You could also give them Fiber One.
Yes.
Your cat wants I'm pumpkin.
Joking. Yeah, they do.
I have never tried this, but we shall see. Number three, stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even thought of this, but it suggests putting bowls throughout the house, more than just one location, because then they're more encouraged. Because, you know, perhaps maybe as you're napping in the chair by the window, it really is a long ways to walk to the water bowl in the kitchen.
Life is so hard.
I think if Cotton Ball could talk, she would tell me that. And number four, consult your vet if you think that your cat has chronic hairball problems, because they can help you out, perhaps giving you a laxative supplement that can help prevent the hairballs from forming.
Excellent. That is just fantastic. All right. Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Brian, and thank you all for listening, and everyone go out and take care of your pets.